Let us do what? Let us cleanse ourselves. Let's clean ourselves up from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So now you can see the little illustration that I began with this morning about the dirty plate. God doesn't want us dirty. He doesn't want us unclean. He doesn't want us defiled. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord wants us clean. He wants us clean. My subject this morning for the brief time we have together is clean for God. Clean for God. And the question this morning to each of our hearts, including mine, is simply this: am I clean for God? Am I clean for God's use? Am I clean for God's honor? Am I clean in my life for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to just speak briefly this morning and give you a few things that will help us, I believe, to answer the question, how can we stay clean? We walk in a world where it's easy to pick up some dirt. Now, we are thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ has died for us. We're thankful for the fact that through him we have forgiveness of sins. We're thankful for the fact that we are justified. We're thankful for the fact that we are forgiven. And we know that as far as our sin penalty is concerned, Jesus Christ has paid the price. He's paid on the cross the price for our sins. And through faith in him, we can have forgiveness of sins. And we have a position with God. We have a sanctified, justified position with God. But practically speaking, as we walk through this life, it's easy for us to pick up some dirt. It's easy for us to lose our cleanness as we walk through life. And the question this morning is, how can we stay clean for God? How can we live in this world with all of its sin and all of its darkness and all of its allurements and all of its temptations and all of the rest of it, and how can we stay clean for God? Because if we're going to be usable for God, just like a usable plate, if we're going to be usable for God, if we are going to honor God, we've got to be clean, folks. Would you agree with that? We've got to be clean. God wants us clean. He says, touch not the unclean thing, the thing that God displeases God, and the thing that defiles us before God, and the thing that puts us takes us out of a place of blessing and favor with God, the uncleanness of the world, the uncleanness of the flesh. We need to be clean. Now, I want to quickly just mention five things this morning. That was five, wasn't it? Five. Five things. Five things this morning that will help us to stay clean. Are you with me? All right. Psalm 119. Let's get back there very quickly. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Anybody remember how many verses without looking? I think it's 172, isn't it? Or no, more than that, 176. Notice in Psalm chapter 119, and read verses 9 through 11 with me, if you would. Psalm 119, 111. All right, notice what it says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do I stay clean? How do I stay clean? Whether you're a young man, old man, in between man, how shall you stay clean? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy what? Word. The word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I done what? Hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. I'm going to give you just something very simple here this morning, folks. To stay clean, simply set your heart on obeying the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, down in my inner man. Thy word have I put into my soul, into my spirit. Why? So that I might not sin against thee. If I will know the word, and if I will believe the word, and if I will obey the word, if I will follow the word of God, If I will keep myself in the Word of God, I can stay clean for God. I can stay clean for the Lord by obeying the Word of God. You see, we obey it either by direct statement or by principle. You know, folks, the Word of God deals with all the issues of life. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the inspired Word of God is capable and profitable to thoroughly furnish us unto all good works, to make us productive, clean, righteous servants of God. And so as we study the Word of God and learn the Word of God, and more than that, obey the Word of God, we're going to find that either by direct statement or by principle, it covers all the issues of life. Somebody says, well, how do I know what to do? How do I know what's right? How do I know what kind of a decision to make in this situation or that situation? I want you to know that the scriptures cover everything that has to do with life, either by direct statement or by principle. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Woe unto him that is deceived thereby. That's a pretty direct statement. That's a warning. That's a warning about the use of alcoholic beverages, you see. Now, if you believe that and obey that, you're going to be guided in your life and you're going to be kept clean. You're not going to have a problem with alcohol. You're not going to have a problem with alcoholism and everything else that comes along with it. You see, if you just obey that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we are told that we are to flee immorality, abstain from immorality. The Bible puts it, abstain from fornication. The word fornication there is from the Greek word porneia. It's the word from which we get pornography. And it has to do with every form of immorality. It says abstain from immorality. And if we simply do that, if we just obey that, abstain from immorality. Don't get mixed up in any form of immorality. Don't get mixed up in pornography. Don't let yourself be carried away and get into fornication. Stay away from sexual immorality and anything that would lead you into sexual immorality. And if you obey that, man, look at the heartache and the grief and the sorrow that that would save. You see? So the Bible, there isn't any moral decision in life that either by direct statement or by principle is not covered in the Word of God. You say, well, what about this and what about that? Well, don't forget what the Bible says. Whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do what? All to the glory of God. So what does that tell us? If you can't do something, if you can't go someplace, or if you can't do something that you can do to the glory of God, what should you do? Don't do it. Don't go or don't do it. It's that simple. Because everything we do in life should be done to the glory of God. Now, you don't have to have a Bible degree to understand that. That's pretty simple. If you want to go someplace, you ask yourself, now, can I go here and glorify God? You say, well, I'm not too sure about that. Well, that should answer it. Don't go, you see. Don't go. Well, should I do this thing? Well, can I do it and glorify God? Can I say, God, I'm doing this to your glory. I'm glorifying the Lord. And are you going to glorify the Lord being seen there? Are you going to glorify the Lord doing that? If you can't say with assurance in your heart, yes, then what? Hey, stay clean. Stay clean for God. You see? Stay clean. Now, the second thing, Romans chapter 8. So, obey the Word. Pretty simple, huh? Well, it's simple to say it, maybe a little harder to do it. Obey the Word of God. Just be an obedient Christian and obey the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, very quickly. Romans, the 8th chapter. All right, read with me verse 12, please. Notice this carefully what Paul says here. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We are debtors. We owe a debt. But notice this carefully. Notice this carefully. Not to the flesh. Now, when Paul talks about the flesh here, he's talking about our carnal, fleshly nature. That's the nature we were all born with. That's our fallen nature. That's our sin nature. That's the nature that we come into the world with. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. We are all born with a sin nature, therefore we sin. We have an inclination towards doing that which is not right. And I don't think anybody can prove otherwise. We are born with that inclination. But we are not a debtor to live after the flesh, in other words, under the control of the flesh, under the control of the fallen nature, under the control of the carnal nature. For if ye live after the flesh, if you live as a manner of life after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. You say, well, we all die anyway, don't we? Yes, we do, but we don't all die spiritually. And I don't have time to get off into a full explanation of death. But there is physical death and there is spiritual death. And the idea here that Paul has is to perish. Perish. For if you live habitually after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through, now notice this, if ye through the what? Spirit. The Holy Spirit. If ye through the Holy Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, what does the word mortify mean? Put to death, means to deaden. We get the English word mortician. A mortician. Everybody knows what a mortician is. Ooh. You see, a mortician has something to do with death. And God has given us the Holy Spirit. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have been given the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of the living God comes to live within us, joins in our spirits. Paul says in Corinthians that those that know the Lord are one spirit with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and one of the things that he does is that he deadens and mortifies the deeds of the body or the deeds of the flesh. In other words, we have a new power, a new life within us that enables us to break the control of the flesh over our actions and deeds in our body. You see? And notice what it says here. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall what? Live. Not just eternally, but abundantly. Remember, Jesus said that he came to give us life. And life more what? Abundantly. Now it says this in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so God gives us of his Spirit. And his Spirit has a multifaceted ministry to us as believers. My second point is simply this. To stay clean, obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. Just simply obey the leading of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to our hearts and our minds. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit will never lead us into sin. The Holy Spirit will never lead us into uncleanness. The Holy Spirit will never lead us any place we shouldn't be. The Holy Spirit will never incite us to do anything we shouldn't do. After all, he is the what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And God gives us of his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit quickens our consciences. The Holy Spirit, listen quickly, the Holy Spirit along with the Word of God, when we get saved, how many of you were saved a little bit later in life? All right. Some of you were saved early in life. But a good number of you were saved later in life. One of the things that you had to do when you got saved, especially later in life, is that you had to recalibrate your conscience. Because before you were saved, you could do a lot of things and go a lot of places and talk in a certain way and act a certain way, behave in a certain way that became totally unacceptable when you became a Christian. But before you became a Christian, your conscience was calibrated, set to that standard, calibrated to that standard, so it didn't bother you. It didn't bother you when you let loose with a big long line of cuss words. It didn't bother you when you went over here where people were crowding around. It didn't bother you when you did this or that or the other thing. Because your conscience was calibrated to this standard. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit recalibrates your conscience. As you look into the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, He recalibrates your conscience to a brand new standard. It's to the standard of God in relationship to the Word. I know because it happened to me. All of a sudden, the things that I just did before I was saved, just did them naturally, didn't give any thought about them. I didn't feel any conviction about them. I didn't feel any guilt about it. I could swear like a drunken sailor. It didn't bother me any. I didn't even know I was doing it half the time. It was such a part of my life. And I could go down here with this gang, and I could go over here with this group, and I could do this and the other thing. It didn't bother me any. In fact, I enjoyed it. That's why I was there. I was getting a great kick out of it. Then when I got saved and got into the Word, all of a sudden I started to have, my opinions started changing. My desire started to change, and what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go and the way I talked and the way I behaved, it all started to change. And it wasn't because the preacher was following me around 24/7 and pecking on my head every time I did something wrong. It was because the Holy Spirit, as I was in the Word, studying the Word and heard the Word preached and taught, the Holy Spirit was doing a work in me and recalibrating my conscience, recalibrating my behavior, everything else. He was working, He was transforming me. I was becoming a new creation in Christ. So listen, this matter of staying clean for God is really not all that complicated, but we have to have a heart for it. We have to want to be clean for God. And as you obey the Word of God, and as you listen to the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit within your heart, you're going to say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I don't feel right about that. I was starting not to feel right about things. I didn't even know why I was feeling bad about them. It was God working in my life, in my heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But God wants us to be clean. He doesn't want us to be dirty plates. God can't use dirty plates. Dirty plates can't honor God. You see? God wants us to be clean. He wants us to be righteous in our lives, in our behavior. He wants us to be godly people. To reflect Him, not the world, not the devil. And so listen, obey the Word and then obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have peace about something, don't do it. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule. You see, if guilt is ruling in your heart, doesn't that tell you something? If trepidation is working in your heart, if doubt is working in your heart, ruling in your heart, if you're full of doubt and trepidation about something and guilt about something, that should tell us something. I don't feel right about this. Well, then why do it? Why go there? Why act that way? God's trying to tell you something. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Because when the peace of God is ruling in your heart, that means you're walking in accordance with Him. All right, now the third thing very quickly. I think my watch has stopped. I'm sure my watch has stopped. Well, you guys are really in for it today because I've only got 11:28. So what time is it? 10 till? Your watches are all wrong. I'm just getting started. Okay, quickly now, quickly, let's move on. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So obey the word of God. Just simply obey the word of God. If the word of God prohibits something, if the word of God warns against something, this don't do it. Obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the God, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us, is to lead us and to guide us and to give us direction in life. So obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 2, another, some more familiar verses. Notice what it says in verse 15. Do you have it? It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, the word world here carries with it the idea of the system of things. The system of things. Three times Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. The archon. The prince, ruler of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul calls Satan the god of this world. And by that he means there is a system of things in this world that is under the dominion of Satan, under the dominion of darkness. There is a sinful darkness in this world that Christians can have no part of. And John says this, he says, love not the world, love not this system of darkness, neither the things that are in the world, those things that are attached to the world system. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you see that? If you're in love with the world, if you're in love with this system of things, if you're in love with the darkness of this world, then the love of God's not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And be warned about this, the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we are told not to love the world. So my third thing to help us stay clean is simply this. Very simple. Love God. Love God. If you love God, you will not love the world. Because the things of this world are not of God. The things of this world are not of God. You see? And there are things in this life and things in this world that we all have an attachment to. You know that mine is baseball. I love baseball. But baseball essentially is a non-moral thing. I mean, it's not a moral issue. But there are things in this life we have to be careful about because they are. There are things in this life, if we love them, if we attach ourselves to them, if we pursue them, if we go after them, they're going to defile us. They're going to make us unclean. There are things in this life that are just forbidden for the child of God. They're not of light, they're of darkness. And we might want to try and kid ourselves sometimes because we like them. And so we try and fudge them over a little bit. We try and push them over a little bit and kind of get them into the light if we can. But the truth of the matter is we can't. We've got to be careful. We got to be careful. So simply love God. If you love God, if you love God, you're not going to be pursuing things that God doesn't love. If you love God, you're not going to be going places that God doesn't want you to go. If you love God, you're going to be pursuing those things that God loves. What does God love? God loves light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now that's a verse to expound upon. God is light. There's not even one little scintilla, not even one little iota of darkness in him. And that refers to the purity of God. How pure is God? God is like perfect light in which there is not one little speck of darkness whatsoever. And we walk in that holiness. We walk before that holy God. Someday we're going to have to stand before that holy God. That should give us some idea of what pleases God. And so, dear people, love God. Aren't we called upon to love God? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, being, soul, your totality of being. Love God. That's the first commandment. That's the greatest of all commandments. Love God with your total being. And the second like unto it is love each other. Love God. Love God. I'm going to tell you something. You can't go too far wrong if you really love God. If you really love God, you're not going to try and fudge everything over to one side. If you love God, you're going to want, zealously, you're going to want to please God. I don't want to go there because I want to please God. I don't want to do that. I want to please God. I don't want to act like that because I love God and I want to please Him. Love God. Now, the next thing in Ephesians chapter 5, very quickly, I keep saying very quickly, don't I? Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. All right. All my points are pretty easy to remember, though, aren't they? Obey the word. Obey the leading of the Spirit. Love God. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to try and condense this a little bit. Verse 1, look at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as what? Dear children. How many can tell the difference between a dear child and one that's not quite? God wants us to be dear children. Children that are dear. Precious. And we do that as we follow God. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. These things don't become the saints of God. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, don't let it even be named once. Be clean, be clean, be clean, be clean. Neither filthiness and all of the rest of it here. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. Our life was according to the spirit of the realm of darkness. Spiritually, we were darkness. In our conduct and behavior, our manner of life, we were darkness. But now because of Christ, we are what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or manifesting, making apparent what is acceptable unto the Lord. What is acceptable unto the Lord? Goodness and righteousness and truth. And then in verse 11, and have no fellowship. How much? None, zero, have no fellowship, have no joint participation. That's the idea behind the word. Have no joint participation with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. Point out the error of the way and give correction. Now listen very carefully. Here's my next point. First of all, if you're going to stay clean, put a priority upon the welfare of your spiritual life. put a priority upon the welfare of your spiritual life. How important is it to you that your spiritual life honor God and be strong and overcoming and victorious? How much does it matter to you to have a close walk and a close relationship with your Lord and Savior? Is it really important? Does it really make a difference? Is it just kind of an afterthought? Or is it important to you? Does it hold a high priority in your thinking and in your behavior to walk in a way that is glorifying to Jesus Christ and honoring to your God, to have a close relationship with Him? Because if it is, you can stay clean. If it is, you can stay clean. If you pay little attention to it, it's like a garden. How many of you are looking forward to our garden getting going again? Some of you folks may not know it, but we got a tremendous garden out back here. I mean a tremendous garden. It is a great garden. Once that garden gets going, you can come in on any Sunday morning and a whole entryway will be filled with various vegetables and fruits and things like that that you can take home. Amen? We have a great garden. But what does it take to have that great garden? It takes thought, consideration, work. You've got to weed it and all the rest of the things that go into it. You see? And our spiritual life is much the same. If we give no thought to our spiritual life, if we give no consideration to our spiritual life isn't going to be what it should be. It's going to get full of weeds and unpleasant things and all the rest of it, and it's not going to be very, and you're going to wonder how come these Christians over here always seem to be so joyous and victorious, and you're always kind of about your, it's because they give some priority to their Christian life and their relationship to God. And if you don't do that, your Christian life's not going to be much. You say, well, I don't get all that much joy out of the Christian life. And I don't, you know, well, what are you putting into your Christian life? Are you walking close to God? You see? So prioritize your Christian life and watch your testimony. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If you pay attention to your testimony, if you're concerned about your testimony, about how other people see you as a Christian, you see, you can stay clean. And the last thing is this. The last thing is this. It's almost 11:30 now. The last thing is this. Romans chapter 14, very quickly. Romans 14. Romans 14. And look at verse 10, please. So remember our subject, staying clean for God. Clean for God. Obey the Word. Obey the Holy Spirit. Love God. Prioritize your Christian life, your spiritual life. Cultivate it, grow it, develop it. Watch your testimony. Make sure it's a good testimony. And then the last thing is this, Romans 14, verse 10. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Now notice this carefully. For we shall all, how many? You believe that? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Believers, are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord? Well, thank the Lord. Now listen carefully. Thank the Lord that our sin, as far as the penalty of sin was concerned, was judged at the cross. When Jesus hung upon that cross, he was dying there for our sin. He was dying as our substitute. He was in your place, in my place. He was suffering as a sacrifice. God put the sin of the world upon him and then judged him. That was for us, so that we could have forgiveness and have a position of righteousness and a position of justification before God. But someday we are still all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not in relationship to our salvation, but in relationship to the life that we have lived for our Savior and for our Lord. And we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account. Did we obey the word? Did we live our lives in such a way to strive to obey his word? Did we live our lives in such a way as to yield to the Spirit of God, to yield to God in us, to follow him in godliness and righteousness? Did we love God? Did we live our lives loving the Lord? Loving the Lord, loving Christ. Did we put a priority upon our walk with God and upon our relationship with him? Did we have a good testimony? Did we live as the light of the world, the salt of the earth? Is that the way we ordered our life? Or were we pretty indifferent? Oh, we were glad to be saved. And we gave it some attention. We gave it a little effort here and there. And we managed to make it to church once in a while. And we weren't too bad, you know. Or did we stay clean and live for God? So the last thing is simply this, folks. Live your life in such a way so as when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to have a lot of regrets. You're not going to have a lot of regrets. Yeah. John puts it this way in 2 John, in verse 8, he says, "Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves, take heed, beware, watch out, that ye receive a full reward." That ye receive a full reward. You see. Remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, talking about this very judgment, he talks about gold, silver, precious stones, receiving a reward, wood, hay, and stubble being burnt up. So listen, be clean. Be clean. I'll tell you, it's great to be clean. It's great to be clean. Isn't it great to have a clear conscience? Isn't it great not to have to deal with all of the aftermath of sin? Can you stop and think about the aftermath of sin, what people go through just because they allow themselves to be carried away into sin? The hurt and the damage and the destruction it causes, not only to the individual in the sin, but to those around them and those that are family and all the rest of it. Wow. I'll tell you, I can say, you know what? It's good to stay clean. It's good to have a clean conscience and a clean heart and a clean life and honor God. Wow. It's good. Now, what shall we do about all of this? Be clean. If you come this morning and you say, "Pastor, I tell you, I got to be honest with you, I feel a little dirty this morning. I feel a little dirty this morning. I've let myself slip. You know, well, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but I feel a little dirty this morning. What should you do about it? Well, why don't you get cleaned up and get going in the right direction? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all the dirt, from all unrighteousness. Amen? I mean, it would be great just to make a little trip right down here. Just bow down right here and say, Lord, you know what? I'm not as clean as I want to be. I'm not as clean as I want to be. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Clean me up. God, give me strength and grace to obey your word and to yield to the Spirit and to love you and to cultivate my spiritual relationship with you. And oh God, when I stand before you, as John puts it in the second chapter of John, he says that when he appears, we will not be ashamed before him. That we'll not have to hang our heads. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You've been so good. And, God, I'm so ashamed. Regret. Regret. Aren't you glad we have a loving God and His mercies and compassions are new every day? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to give an invitation. Now listen, you can come down and pray for any reason, for anything. But if you feel the need just to get closer to God today, if you feel the need just to get cleaned up a little bit, why don't you just come down? Just come down. Don't forget about everybody else. Just forget about everybody else. Nobody's going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to make fun. Just come on down and get before God here and say, Lord, I've come to get cleaned up a little bit. Or if you have some other burden, come down and share it with God. Aren't you glad we have a caring God? Amen. Let's sing this together. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, O tender love to thee, more love to thee. More love to thee. God speaking to your heart, you just come. Don't worry about anybody else. You just come. Get along with God. Get along with God. Stanza 2.
Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, for thee, more love to thee, more love to thee.
One more stanza. If God's speaking to your heart, just obey whatever He's telling you to do. Stanza 3.
Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry thy heart shall raise. This still my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you need help in your spiritual life, someone to just talk to, pray with, counsel with, please get a hold of either myself or Pastor Randy, and we'll be glad to get together with you, okay? We love you. God bless you. Want everybody to stand before the Lord someday, rejoicing, just waiting to hear that WD. And what is that? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. 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 Okay, folks, listen, before you go this morning, please continue to pray for Shelley Allen. Shelley Allen is having her second surgery for her brain tumor tomorrow up in Seattle. And so please keep her on your prayer list tomorrow and throughout the week, okay? She needs your prayers. And we have a long list of people we're praying for, so pray for others also. But please especially remember to pray for Shelley Allen tomorrow. And I want to say this before I let you go. I know I'm going droning on and on and on, but here's the thing. This meeting tonight is an important meeting. And I want to encourage you. Pastor Randy mentioned that he's going to be sharing with you some of the things that we have done and looking for an assistant pastor. And there's something right in the offing that we need to be looking at. And so we would like you to come and share on that, okay? And so please think about that this evening as you plan on whether or not to come to the service tonight. Okay, God bless you. God bless you. And all the congregation said,
Amen.
No, they said, God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Shalom Aleichem. Aleichem Shalom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you. Lord, we love you. We thank you, O Lord Jesus, for this great sacrifice that you made for us, the extent of your suffering, the depth of your love. Lord, we can't understand it. We just accept it, and we thank you for it. And Lord, work on our hearts and lives. We need you so much. Father, so often we're so weak. And Lord, we need you. We just need you. So help us, Lord, in what we've talked about this morning, because I believe that every sincere Christian here this morning wants to be clean for you. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to love you and obey you and follow you and glorify you. We want that in our lives. But sometimes, Father, we get tempted and we get led astray and we're weak. And so please, Lord, strengthen us, bless us, and help us. And we thank you for all of your goodness to us. And please do bless Shelley tomorrow as she undergoes her surgery. Put your hand upon her, I pray, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.